Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comedians from New Jersey say critical things about comics who are far more successful than we will ever, ever, ever be. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull. With me, as always...
Oh, hey, it's Aaron Patterson, other co-host. Yeah, a lot of evers there, man. Like,
I wanted to qualify it.
It's really disheartening.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, it's not inaccurate, though.
I know, but my mom listens to this, man. Come on.
Oh, that's sweet.
She doesn't, but I don't know.
But you want her to.
I just want to put that out in the ether. It's on my vision board.
I don't know if my mom listens to this. She probably would.
I just want
she's sweet like that, but
you know. Oh, now you're dissing my mom?
No, my mom, a bitch? No, okay. not at all.
All right, maybe that's what I heard. I'm sorry.
I'm sure your mother is a very, very sweet woman.
Damn straight.
You know, so
Miss Patterson is a saint.
Yeah, Darren and I had a busy week.
Oh my God,
Darren just got back from Washington D.C. where he was in a comedy festival. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Oh no, that wasn't a comedy festival.
Oh, it wasn't.
My wife came out with a book, and she was in a book festival.
Okay.
You don't even know who I am.
You said festival. I automatically assumed comedy festival. No, I knew you did a setup there.
I did do a setup there. Shout out to Hayward Turnipseed Jr. That's his name. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
He has a show up there at the Arlington, not Arlington, the Draft House Comedy. It's this great new venue. A lot of comics with it. Like when I went up there, Dan Soder was there. He just did a set, and it's this great comedy venue. And Haywood runs a show there called Attack of the Comics.
Mm.
And yeah, he just has like a bunch of comics. They had a great crowd. It was like about. Honestly, it was like the show started like around like 11 o'clock at night. There were, I would say, about 30, 35 people there. It's a good...
Nice.
Great show, great venue, and I did awesome.
That's terrific. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. I just had a show, a local show here at Tierney's in Montclair, where we've both done a lot of shows. We're co-hosting there in... Yeah. Just Darren's 2 weeks.
It's our home club.
It's our home club.
Double T.
It was the first time I'd been up there in a while. We had a nice fundraiser for Alzheimer's New Jersey.
Nice.
It went really well. I had a nice set, and I was very surprised. So
you sound shocked that you did well.
I didn't know what to expect. I didn't prepare the way I was planning to prepare. But
oh dear.
I just went up there and winged it slightly, but it went really well, and I got it on video. So nice.
So you got a tape now.
So there's a record of it.
Nice. There you go. Some sort of time capsule.
So that's nice. That's
future
nice.
Generation can see how awesome you did.
That's right. And maybe I can send it around. Maybe get some other jobs elsewhere or something.
Other jobs, festivals, bookings, club owners, promoters.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
Send that baby up.
It would be a nice novelty for me. But. Even though we had all this other stuff going on in our lives, we still made time to watch Saturday Night Live.
Still made time. Still.
Because it's a third episode. We are not slacking off yet.
Nuh-uh.
No.
We're not the writers of Saturday Night Live. No, that's so, messed up. I'm sorry.
Wow. Wow. Hurtful. All right, let's go into it. Wow. Okay. Let's go into it. We're gonna try and make this a quick episode because we were recording this very late on Sunday night.
We were pooped.
It was the only time it could fit into our busy schedules.
Oh, we're busy people.
So this episode it was the third episode of the season, the 44th season. It was host Seth Meyers and Paul Simon.
Yes.
Two SNL favorites, two SNL greats.
Icons.
I would say, yes.
In the pantheon of
Seth
SNL.
Meyers, he was on the show for 12 years.
It didn't,
or he worked for the show for 12 years.
Yeah, I think he was like a writer, and then he became head writer. Then he was head writer. Yes.
And you know, he did the Weekend Update. He was a cast member before that. You name it, he's done it.
Yeah, he's
and Paul Simon, he goes back to like the first season.
Yeah, he's like back in like the 70s. Like him and Lauren are like tight like that.
Yeah, and actually the 10 p.m. rerun. I don't know if you had a chance to catch that. They played. One of the early episodes that Paul Simon hosted. It was Paul Simon hosting, and George Harrison is the musical guest.
Oh, shit.
And it was that classic opening where he comes out in the chicken suit, and or the turkey suit, I guess, because it was near Thanksgiving, and okay. He sings "Still Crazy" after all these years.
Oh yeah. Oh, I missed that, son of a.
It was neat to see. It was mostly like the musical segments.
Okay.
So there's a lot of Paul Simon, a lot of Paul Simon, and duetting with Mr. George Harrison.
My God, George Harrison. He might be my favorite Beatle.
Oh yeah.
For a while I thought I was a Paul guy, but the more I get older and more mature. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm more of a George.
Okay.
That's just me. That's me.
All right. That's cool.
Don't at me, as the kids say.
All right. So the cold open of the new episode, we had a C-SPAN segment with covering Trump and
yes.
Kanye West.
Right.
With Alec Baldwin's grand return.
I know.
As Donald Trump. We hadn't seen him at all in the first two episodes.
Yeah. I think he said he wanted to cut back on it because just... Too much Trump. It's just too much Trump, I think.
I'm sure that gets exhausting.
Yeah, it does.
You don't want to live in that guy's skin for too long.
Yeah, you don't want to become him. That's the ultimate curse.
And yeah, and we had Chris Redd playing Kanye West.
Pretty good impression.
I thought it was good. I thought it was solid.
Yeah,
we used to have Jay Farrell playing Kanye West.
Yeah.
That was one of his go-to guys.
Yeah, I thought Chris Redd maybe did a better impression than
mm-hmm.
Jay Farrell. I mean, Jay Farrell is good at impressions. He does a flawless Will Smith and an amazing mm-hmm. Denzel Washington.
His Denzel is great.
Denzel. Yeah. And I never thought about no one does a Denzel. And he was the first one to do a Denzel.
Yeah.
And, oof. Yeah, I get chills.
But I thought Chris Redd did a great job as Kanye. He was very funny. He had a good impression. I thought it was good.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he does it again in the future.
They have
to do it again.
I think that could be one of his go-tos. And it's nice to see one of the newer people like Chris Redd sort of coming into his own on the show
absolutely.
And blossoming a bit. And
exactly. Getting
some go-to bits.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of saw that, for Heidi Gardner, too. We'll talk about it later, but mm-hmm. There were a couple of scenes where, she was kind of...
Really good week for Heidi Gardner,
I thought. Like, I saw, oh, hey, she can do that. You can see it slowly happening. She just might be the next thing.
Yeah, yeah. I thought she was really good. I thought she was really solid. A few good lines. Let's see. The two lines that I made notes of are Trump saying, "Oh my God, he's black me," just talking about how erratic and nutty Kanye
is. I swear
is.
I heard that line on Twitter somewhere, but
okay.
Yeah. I mean, I know I heard it. I'm pretty sure I heard it, but
and
still,
the other
it's still
line,
funny.
The other line I noted was, "Maybe we should order your lunch from a pharmacy," and I don't remember who said that or in what context, but I think it was directed towards Kanye.
Yeah, I think Alec Baldwin said that was a great line.
That was a great line.
That was good.
That was fun.
I gotta use that in conversation somehow.
Maybe
show you lunch from pharmacy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You zinged him.
Yeah. I got him.
That's a zinger. Let's see. Then we had Seth Meyers comes out, does the little monologue.
Yeah.
Talks about, I worked at SNL for over 12 years. I cried on my last day, and then I moved down the hall, because he's literally on the same floor.
Yeah, pretty much.
Doing his late night show.
Yeah.
That's
Seth.
I like Seth Meyers. I don't watch his late night show on a regular basis, but I enjoy him when I do. I think he's one of the better people on late night now.
Yeah, he's enjoyable. I like him. Mm-hmm. I like him okay.
I don't find him actively annoying the way I find a few other people in late night right now.
Oh, name.
I'm not too nuts about Jimmy Fallon on the Tonight Show.
Well, no, that's understandable.
And I feel kind of bad about disliking Jimmy Fallon because it feels like you're kicking a puppy.
Yeah, I mean, that's his thing is just like he's just likable and everything's a great time and hey guys, we're having fun. Everything's mm-hmm. fantastic. He's too up.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
He never seems like a real person to me. You know, he's always just like, oh my God, this is so great. This is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I can't really get into that as a person because I'm a bitter human being.
Yeah. Where's the realism, man? Where's the angry Jimmy?
That's right. Well, I mean, that was what I always liked about Letterman was he felt like a real person. He would get grumpy. He would get
sarcastic. Yeah. Sometimes he'd have a guest on he didn't really respect and he kind of jab him a little bit. A little bit too much.
You could tell. And so when he really liked somebody, it meant something.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you're praising literally every person who's sitting across from you.
Yeah.
It gets old.
Yeah. Jimmy Fallon's like a big golden retriever or something like that.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
jumping around like, hey guys, hey, what's going on?
He's just going to lick you on your face and it's fun. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's, I don't begrudge anybody who likes him. He's just not for me.
But and Letterman's more like a cat where you have to like work for his affection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cats and dogs, human sacrifice. Cats and dogs living together.
But I enjoy Seth Meyers on the occasions where I check him out on his show.
He's good, all right. Like his really segment's always pretty funny.
Mm-hmm,
he's a good guy.
Let's see. Thumbs up,
Seth Meyers.
Yes. Let's see. And he told a story about Kanye West interrupting speeches.
Yes.
And when Kanye West was on the show, he was like, "We should do a show. We should do a sketch with you interrupting an award show speech."
Right.
And he's like, "Yes, that's funny because I do that."
Right.
And then the kicker was, this was 2 years
before.
He did the Taylor Swift thing.
It's so insane that I believe it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, or, I mean, it's just like, what? And then you think for a minute, you're like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounded about right.
That was a good story. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, no, I dug it.
I thought it was a strong monologue, and yeah.
Okay.
So let's see.
The end.
First sketch, there was an IFC special screening south of Mason, and Seth was the director of this movie, and it was basically just him getting odd questions from the audience.
Yeah, it's pretty one note. I thought it would be a thing because the first one was A.D. Bryant saying, "Oh, how come your dad was played by a man?"
And yeah,
I thought it would be like a more of a thing where they'd be kind of maybe attacking like
the PC stuff.
Yeah, PC culture. But then they went to the second person, and there was just Kate McKinnon acting weird, and it's like, "Oh, okay, yeah, no, it's just weird people."
I remember liking Kate McKinnon in her character bit. A lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Her character was, like, kind of a seductive type of person,
I recall. She had, like, a black wig, and she was, like, kind of slinky type of deal.
Yeah.
Not the toy, but the movement.
she actually backed downstairs.
Yes.
Backwards.
Alone and in pairs.
Yes. There was one throwaway gag that I loved was Heidi Gardner. She introduced herself as Adele Azeem. Adele Dazeem.
Yeah,
who is John Travolta? Like a couple years ago in an award show, he introduced.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
What's her name?
Now
I'm going to mangle her name.
The singer,
India Menzel.
India Ari.
Yeah.
No, India Menzel.
Yeah.
India Menzel.
That's closer than I was going to get. Yes,
guys, we apologize. We're so tired.
We're very tired. It's very late. We didn't Google things.
I'll look it up because it's gonna.
And it's going to bother you, but
But I didn't realize you introduced her by that name.
It was a throwaway thing, but it made me chuckle.
Okay, but I did like how he said, "Oh, like she was like an aspiring actress," and he said, "Oh, you know, I'm available for acting." And then he said, "Oh, great, we have a play coming up." It's like, "Oh no,
oh yeah, no, never mind, never mind." Yeah,
I mean, I feel like that's like an inside joke for any actors in New York City. Like, I guess. Acting isn't a very, I mean, or in plays aren't a very.
I think that's more of an LA thing because, from what I understand, like the theater scene in LA is not real big because it's such a TV and movie industry town.
I've heard that. Indina Menzel.
There we go.
Idina Menzel.
So, yeah, we just officially did better than John Travolta when he was introducing her at an award show.
Why didn't John Travolta get his phone out and just Google?
I mean,
see?
So.
If we can do it, why can't he?
But, you know, Scientology cured his dyslexia, so.
Oh, wow.
So, that's what he's claimed.
Is that, I didn't even know he was dyslexic.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Vinny Barbarino?
Yeah. But, he says Scientology cured it, and obviously did a great job.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Next, there was a film segment with a testosterone booster supplement.
Oh, yeah. I like this one.
That turned the fellow into a psycho. Was it Beck Bennett?
I feel like it was Seth Meyers.
Okay.
Because like it started off as like a commercial for like a man who's like, you know, sex drive is getting low as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took this supplement.
Yeah.
But then the supplement kind of made him into this dude with like a two black goatee and a bald head. And
yes.
And he like, you know, satisfying his wife like almost to the point that like she can't take it. She's like icing down her crotch.
Yeah. It was like you're running into your wife, but she has like osteoporosis, so she's throwing out her hip. And
she has osteoporosis.
That was funny. And so he takes another supplement to bring him back.
Yes, bring him back down
as a normal person.
Beta male.
Beta male. Great name for it. I enjoyed it. It was funny.
I liked it. Yeah, I thought it was funny.
It was cute.
I dug it.
Let's see. Next there was a live sketch that was called Thirsty Cops.
Yeah, and go ahead. It seemed like really one note. Like
you didn't like it.
I mean, I thought it was interesting, but it just seemed like. It seemed like the concept. I don't, you go for it.
Okay, I'm going to back up a little bit because the premise of the sketch we had Seth Meyers who was pulled over and Leslie Jones and Ego Nwodim.
Nwodim.
Nwodim. Excuse me. Okay. She's still very new, mm-hmm. and it's very late. And so they were partners and they were the thirsty cops and thirsty as the kids say as in
yes.
horny
yes.
They need to get some they like the cut of his jib.
Oh.
They were making him walk back and forth. They're checking out his package. They're checking out his hindquarters.
Yes.
And I like this one. I thought Leslie and Ego had a lot of energy.
They did.
And as I've said on our previous episodes, Leslie is not one of my favorites, but I thought she did a solid job.
She did, yeah.
In this episode, in this sketch.
Yeah, I know. I just thought it was one of those sketches like very one note. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. yeah, the horny cops go.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I wanted more. Or I expected like a turn somewhere.
You wanted more of a twist.
Yeah, or something, or a turn, or some type of something, but it never came. I was like, okay.
Well, yeah, I definitely enjoyed it more than you did.
Okay. Yeah.
To my great surprise.
Yeah, look at that.
Because usually when Leslie's on, I'm just like, okay, well, let's get through this. And
you usually shiver in a corner with a blanket over you.
Yes.
The horror.
Yes. I think we should also mention Kate McKinnon comes on.
Oh, yeah, Kate McKinnon.
As another cop who
yes.
comes on, sexually harasses Seth a little bit.
Right.
You know, it seemed like over the course of the night, Seth wasn't doing... He was basically playing himself in a lot of sketches, it seemed like.
Yeah,
he wasn't doing a whole lot of character stuff, which surprised me.
I don't think he's ever really done that, has he?
Well, I mean, I remember him doing sketches and doing character work before he became the Weekend Update guy, but maybe he's just...
I think, from what I remember, like when he was doing sketches, he was always just kind of like an average guy. Like he doesn't really do impressions. Like he did one impression of Hugh Grant, and that's because he kind of looked like Hugh Grant.
I remember that.
But, if you look at the sketches with Seth Meyers, he doesn't do a lot of, like, character work. It's mostly just plays like an average dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe. So, and that's why he said, like, the Weekend Update desk was a better fit for him, so he'd just be a better dude.
He was definitely a good fit for the Weekend Update desk. I have fond memories of a few sketches that he did. Actually, Vulture had an article this week. It was like, you know, Seth Meyers' best moments on SNL.
Really?
And they, yeah.
Right.
And they, and
that's
so
not the two.
I watched a few of the, they had the YouTube links to the sketches, and there was a thing when Jude Law hosted, they were Michael Caine and Peter O'Toole, and they were both drunk, and they were going into like a fast food restaurant late at night.
Okay.
And that was pretty good. And there was another sketch I had fond memories of where it was Seth as like this young 12-year-old detective who was like this Encyclopedia Brown type. And Amy Poehler was his little sister.
I don't remember that.
And the two of them were helping out John Goodman, who had to solve like the series of murders of prostitutes.
Oh, geez.
And just the contrast between those. And I liked that sketch.
Yeah, it sounds like a mystery team.
Yeah.
All right.
A little bit like mystery team. Yes.
Okay. All right.
That was good. Let's see. Next.
Look at me learning. I didn't
know
that. All right.
Yeah. I'll send you the link. I'll send you the link. Mm-hmm. Next, there was another film segment. There was a frightening tale, which was telling stories around the campfire. And Seth tells a story about being set up with an aspiring filmmaker played by Kyle Mooney.
I feel like this is something like if you're in the business, you get immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we're sort of in the business, I guess you could say.
I mean, if you want to be kind, yes.
Yes. Yeah, but like, I like this one. I thought it was funny. I mean, Kyle Mooney, I'm usually hot and cold on, but I thought he was good at this sketch. And
I thought it was a pretty good sketch. I'm sure it was inspired by a real life experience from somebody.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, from what I've heard, like that happens quite a bit. Like where somebody's like, "Oh, you're looking to get in a film? Well, I know so and so,
yeah,
and have coffee with him."
And Kyle Mooney was playing this kid who was like just out of college, and he had all these insufferable opinions.
Yeah, everything's a reboot.
Yeah, I mean, why are we doing this? I mean, just
And then the sad thing is, like, I can actually picture myself saying something like that, but to a friend of mine, not to another film dude.
Right.
I just crabbily, bitch and moan into microphones.
Yes. Which we do.
I don't bother other people with
it. Because no one's going to listen to this.
Yeah.
No.
Except my mom.
Except our moms.
Yes.
Hi, Mom. Yes. Hi, Mom. But I enjoyed it. Now, I liked that it was like sort of a curse that he had to pass on to another person.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
It was sort of like the Ring or
yeah. Or
was the Ring the one where you have to watch the video and you have to make somebody else watch the video?
Yeah. It's like a chain letter type
right.
of dealio.
Right. So next was a live sketch with Seth as a new inmate in prison.
Yeah, this sketch.
And he discovers his roommate is one Mr. Bill Cosby, played by Kenan Thompson, the former Fat Albert.
Yeah,
himself.
I remember. Did you hear? Like the audience didn't seem like too into it. It was just like,
maybe it was one of those things where they just didn't know where it was going at first.
Yeah, I was a little wary of it because, like, I didn't know. I mean, I don't know. The fact that they did this sketch kind of surprised me, but I don't know. What do you think?
I was impressed that Kenan was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna finally burn that Bill Cosby bridge." Because I remember like a thing years ago when maybe allegations came out. Kenan made an appearance on Weekend Update, and it was like, and he was basically saying like, "I like to work. I'm not going to touch this." I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So now that he's in jail, it's like, all right, we can.
Well, he ended up playing Cosby in like a sketch on the 40th anniversary.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I do remember.
From what I understand, was originally supposed to be Eddie Murphy, but then Eddie was like, "No, I'm not doing this."
And that's weird because Eddie fucking notoriously took him down in Raw, and now.
I don't know what's
going on.
I wonder if it was like because it was the Cosby thing, or if Eddie was just like, "No, I don't want to do a sketch."
At the end,
or maybe both.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Who knows how Eddie's mind works?
I don't know. We're gonna have to mind meld with Eddie Murphy.
That's true.
Someday, and we'll figure this
all
out.
Calling Eddie Murphy.
Coming. It was. I thought it was a pretty good sketch. There were some good laughs.
Yeah, there was some interesting stuff like the hoagie and the animal poster and
the animal poster. Upside. I mean, it was like he had a tunnel from behind the poster, very Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
And we find out he'd been in prison for literally 4 days.
Right. It's like, you dug this in 4 days?
Yeah.
And the turtle, he somehow got a turtle and he thought it was Quincy Jones.
Yes.
That was, like, weird. But,
I mean, Kenan does a very good Cosby. Obviously, he got to observe the guy close up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure. So, it was a good sketch,
yeah.
I thought. That was another contender for me for sketch of the night. Let's see. Next, we had Mr. Paul Simon.
Yes,
doing his musical guesting appearance.
Pauly Cy.
He did a couple old tunes because apparently his new album is called "In the Blue Light," which is new arrangements of his classic songs.
Right.
With orchestral backing.
Wait, what was the first song? I thought the first song was.
The first song was one I recognized. It's called "Can't Run But," and it's from Rhythm of the Saints, which was the album he did right after Graceland.
I thought that was a totally new song. That's why I didn't recognize it.
It's kind of an obscure Paul Simon's song. I recognize it because I got that album, and I remember listening to that album in college.
Oh, so you're a big Paul Simon guy?
I wouldn't say I'm a big Paul Simon guy, but I got that album and I listened to that album, so I remember that song.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it. You know, he had a six-piece orchestra.
Yeah, it was an interesting arrangement.
And in the second segment he did
the big
Bridge
one.
Over Troubled Water.
Yeah.
Which was kind of funny because on the 10 p.m. rerun with Paul Simon, he also did Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Wow, that song.
So I got to hear two Paul Simon Bridge Over Troubled Waters.
Which one did you like better?
And one. Probably the new one.
Oh, interesting.
I guess it's a little weird hearing Paul Simon sing that song instead of Art Garfunkel.
It is, yeah.
Because Garfunkel's vocal for that is so iconic.
Yeah, I mean that's like the biggest thing he's ever done.
That's the Art Garfunkel song. The Simon. And, I mean, I know Paul Simon wrote it, of course, but
right. But I thought it was interesting. I mean, you do hear his voice go. You know, he's an older man, so the voice isn't as strong, but it's still a decently strong voice.
But always nice to hear Mr. Paul Simon perform. I've never seen him in concert or anything, but
You should.
Have you?
No. Okay. But I mean, you should.
But I should.
Yeah.
As a 46-year-old white dude, I should.
Yeah.
Be seen
it's
Paul Simon.
It's like in the bylaws for your people. Is it not
for my people? Yes. Yes. I am legally required to see Paul Simon.
Yeah, I got to see Paul Simon, Fleetwood Mac,
Billy Joel.
Right. And I think that's about it.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. Okay. Well, I got some work to do, obviously.
No. You got homework.
I got homework, son. So, of course, after the musical guest, we have Weekend Update with our friends Colin Jost and Michael Chai.
I love this running gag.
Yes. I'm sure no one is sick of that yet.
No, it's going to be great.
I have just vague notes on this. Let's see. My notes say, climate change, this whole episode should be a telethon.
Right.
I think they were talking about the hurricane down in Florida.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think because there was a news article out saying that, like, climate change is going to, like, kill the Earth by 2030.
That's right.
And they're saying, like, how come no one's talking about this? Everybody's talking about Kanye and other inane things, like, that Trump says. But meanwhile, the Earth is going to die in, like 2030. So that's...
And I thought they made the good point that it's a thing that's so huge it's just tough to absorb.
Right.
Where Michael Che was saying we shouldn't say like everything's going to go. We should say like these specific things are going
right.
to go.
Exactly. That makes it more sense. Like I think he also said something like it's like if you owe like a bookie like $100, you're like, well, I got to pay you $100.
And if you owed him $1 million.
He's like, well, I guess I'm just going to die.
Yeah, exactly. You're just resigned to your fate.
Yeah. But also in the segment, in Weekend Update, talking about Heidi Gardner, she had that one character I thought that was pretty great.
Yeah. So she came on, she did, she
she's
was
like a Goop.
She was a Goop staffer by the name of Baskin Johns, is what I wrote down. So it was apparently Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow's lifestyle company. Is celebrating its 10th anniversary.
Yeah, she just sells bric-a-brac with Gwyneth Paltrow's stamp on it.
And Heidi's character got very nervous because Gwyneth was potentially watching.
Yes.
And so she gets a little flustered.
Yeah. But I liked her character. Her voice is like, it's number one.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I was just like, what's the point of this thing?
It could go a little too long, but like I enjoyed it. I don't know.
She did a good job with what she had.
Yeah. It's got skills.
Next we had one of Seth Meyers' is fondly recalled bit.
Yes.
Which you mentioned earlier.
Really? Yeah, yeah.
With Seth, Colin, and Michael instead of Seth and Amy.
Yeah, yeah.
This time.
I was kind of hoping Amy Poehler would come out and they would do it.
Yeah, it seemed wrong to be doing it without her.
I know. I was like, oh, is she coming out? And then just nothing.
What was the topic? They were talking about...
Kanye? Or, I don't know. Everybody's talking about Kanye.
I wrote down one line, which I believe was from the Really segment. It is so rare you see black people and white supremacists betrayed in the exact same moment. And they were talking about Kanye and Trump when they were embracing.
Right. That's it, yeah.
So, yeah. I think they were just incredulous about the Kanye-Trump
movie. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it. But, it was all right. Not bad.
But I enjoy the Really. I always like that segment.
I remember the first time they did it, I really dug. I forget what they were talking about, but the first time they did it, I was like, oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. And it became a recurring bit, and I don't think they ever really exhausted it.
Right.
So it was always a treat when it came up. Surprisingly, no. We had no Stefan coming up.
Yeah.
No reference to Stefan.
Yeah, I mean, Hader is he's an Emmy Award-winning actor now. Yeah,
He's busy with his own show.
Yeah, he didn't have time to, wallow in the mire.
Busy doing Barry.
Yes.
Emmy Award winning Henry Winkler.
Exactly. He's big league now. He can't.
So, yeah.
He doesn't have time to play with these plebeians.
He's outgrown Stefan.
Indeed.
That's right. Wow.
He's hung up the Ed Hardy shirt.
That's sad to think, but...
this is the world. Thanks, Trump.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's Trump's fault, but it's Trump's fault.
It's somehow Trump's fault.
It all comes back to
him. That's just how it is. And, this might be a good place to mention this. One thing I liked was... a couple of bumpers going into commercial breaks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We see Seth leading a llama through the halls of the studio, which harkens back to a running gag, a classic SNL running gag, where whenever you go backstage, you see Abe Lincoln, a couple of showgirls, and a llama.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Did you not know about this?
I did not know about
this. This is like a recurring bit, and it's never really commented on. But I did a little reading about this online, and apparently they did show a llama in some of the early episodes, in like some Eric Idle episodes.
Okay.
In like the first 5 years, and when Seth became head writer, it became a recurring bit whenever they would show the cast running around backstage. Somewhere in the background, you see an Abe Lincoln, a couple of showgirls, and a llama.
Huh.
And it's, and I just love it because it's like never commented on. It's just a thing that they do.
Wow. That's something like if you're like a real
hardcore
right.
person.
Like, and this, that's something just for you that you
exactly.
Get.
And this wow. this actually was a test and you failed. God, so.
All right.
We're going to get a new co-host next week, but...
Ladies and gentlemen, this is my final episode.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I had a great time. But bring up the ending credits song.
But
I want to thank the cast, the crew, Lauren.
No.
Good night, everybody. Have a good time.
We'll give you another chance. We'll give you another chance.
Oh, thank you, sir.
But, yeah, so that's why you see Seth leading a llama around in a couple of the photos that they're going into.
You learned
a little something.
Well, I'll be...
Today. Today, tonight.
Look at that.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Let's see what else we have. We have, okay, this was a weird sketch. Bayou Benny's liberal Lenegape.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was just basically everybody doing Cajun accents, and they were down in New Orleans. But they're all very liberal.
They're liberal people.
We see Heidi Gardner as Taylor Swift. There is an ornery alligator.
Yeah. Ornery alligator doesn't sleep under my stairs.
There was a chili pepper with sunglasses.
Yeah.
We had Seth Meyers.
Right.
I think he was playing himself.
He's playing himself, yeah.
And he wrestled with a biscuit. My main reaction to this sketch was somebody in the SNL writer's room is just smoking a lot of weed.
Yeah. I mean, I think they do this on a show from time to time where, like, I've noticed it, like, on talk shows or game shows where there's, like, one normal person in this weird kind of show, like, a talk show or game show setup where everybody is off except he's the only normal one.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think it kind of reminded me of, like...
What Up With That?
Not really. Maybe What Up With That, but also, like, when Bill Hader did that Vinny Verdecci...
The Italian.
Yeah, like everybody speaks Italian except for that one guy. Is like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't speak Italian. But it kind of reminded me of that. Where
it was a very esoteric sketch.
Yeah, very much.
It was.
I'm not sure what esoteric means, but
it was. It's just one of those things you look at and it was just like, well, where did this come from?
I guess it comes from the fact that everybody thinks, oh, if you're from the South, you're, Republican or you're red state. But so what would a liberal sort of Southern stereotype sound like, and I guess it's like that.
Yeah, it was.
You don't sound impressed
at all.
I was
baffled by that sketch. I was just utterly baffled.
It's very bizarre.
I was just like, am I tripping right now? I don't know.
It's just one of those sketches, like you said, like after 12:30, where it's just like, let's just get weird.
Yeah, yeah. That was obviously one of the weird sketches that you put in the back half hour of the show.
Yeah, almost. I mean, not quite Adult Swim weird, but it's inching close.
Let's see. Next, there was a restaurant sketch where we have a group of friends. They're waiting for their friends to arrive, a couple.
Right.
And Seth Meyers and Heidi Gardner come in. They're a couple who just got back from Cuba.
Right.
And they insist on pronouncing it as Cuba.
Cuba.
The regional pronunciation.
Like the actor.
And they didn't realize that they went to a cockfight.
And that was it.
That was the entire sketch.
We just described the entire sketch in like three sentences.
In about 10 seconds, I covered what the show took about maybe 3 minutes to do.
Yeah, they do this quite a bit, like where like the whole sketch is kind of based around the mispronunciation of a word.
Cuba.
Yeah. Like,
Cuba.
They expect that to be funny enough to carry a whole sketch.
And it was not.
It was not. It was like...
It was...
I even heard like in the audience, they were like,
This is the thing that they're doing.
Yeah, but it happens.
And God knows not every sketch can be killer. It's just you see something like this, you wonder what they axed after Dress.
Yeah. Like it,
you wonder what this did better than.
Just say Cuba numerous times.
Yeah.
And you'll be done in 3 minutes.
So let's see. Next, there was another film segment. They do a lot of film segments these days. So this was Trees with Chris Redd and Pete Davidson as environmental rappers rapping about trees.
Right. This was a weird thing. Because did this happen to you too, where it didn't start at the beginning?
Yeah, I read this online. Apparently, the full sketch didn't air for some reason.
Right, yeah.
And I watched the entire sketch online, and it's much better when you see the full thing, of course.
Yeah, because I watched it live, and I just left on Channel 4, and they were doing commercials. And then they cut in the middle of the sketch.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, what? What's happening here?
Yeah, and it's very nonsensical without the setup. So if you were baffled by the Trees sketch, look it up on YouTube. Look it up online. And it works much better when you see it in full.
Right. SNL actually tweeted out, like, yeah, we know you didn't see the whole thing, but here's the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, which is unfortunate. They must have just gotten screwed up on time.
Yeah,
which,
some weird glitch or something.
Yeah, or maybe somebody hit the wrong button in the control room. Who knows?
Somebody asleep at the wheel.
But but I thought Chris Redd and Pete Davidson were both very funny in it.
Yeah, Chris Redd, I'm like, this guy's got something.
Yeah.
He's got sketches, impressions. He could dance like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This guy. I think he might be ready for Saturday Night Live.
He might be ready for prime time.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm very excited seeing Chris Redd and Heidi Gardner both come into their own.
Yeah.
And they seem to be doing an accelerated pace.
Right.
And
I do see them in more and more sketches, more than Melissa Villaseñor, which is a little disheartening.
Yeah, it was a light week for Melissa Villaseñor.
I mean, she's always been just kind of the person. Like, she's not at the forefront a lot. But mm-hmm. It seems like Heidi Gardner and Chris Redd are getting more and more to the forefront more than some other people.
Yeah, but, and it's that's the weird thing about the format of SNL is that sometimes even people who are very established.
Right.
Can have off weeks or light weeks. Like, we didn't see very much of Cecily Strong at all this week.
What's up with that?
And so maybe she just had a couple sketches that for whatever reason didn't get on.
Yeah,
and that was it. I mean, it's a crapshoot.
It is. I don't know. It's a funny beast.
You gotta fight for that airtime each week.
Gotta fight
for your right
to airtime. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's late. We're tired.
Let's see.
I started strong with that.
I know. No, we had nowhere to go with it, though.
Nope.
And much like we're doing, the show sort of petered out from there.
Yeah. The
next sketch was the Residence Inn musicians, which they were the house band and a Residence Inn.
Yeah.
And
Danny Cricket.
Seth's character had some sort of medical issue, and he was getting a call about it, and people wanted him to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. I think the word panty crickets were... Which is interesting, because I remember that term was used in an old SNL sketch where Amy Poehler played Britney Spears, I think.
Had they used the term panty crickets?
They used the term panty crickets.
I do not remember this at all.
It's an old one. It's where Britney was divorcing Kevin Federline. Okay. And Amy Poehler was Britney Spears, and then she said something about Kevin was out and about, and then he came home, and, ten days later, guess who's got panty crickets?
Wow.
I don't know how I knew that. I just remembered it. It's
But the term panty crickets just stuck
in
your head.
It's just a colorful euphemism. I've never heard of it before. But yeah, and so
panty crickets.
I think I'm back in the SNL.
I didn't even remember that from the sketch last night, and and you remember this from the sketch, probably 5-10 years ago. And
I have a gift.
Yeah,
I'm truly gifted.
Wow.
But I mean, this sketch was it's okay. that's all I got to say.
The sketches tonight are just inspiring a lot of wistful sighs. Like it was.
Was this sketch shorter than the other sketches?
I think so.
It seemed to be over fairly quickly.
I feel like the time got screwed up because the good nights got cut off.
Yeah, the
Good Nights were cut off, which was yeah, which was too bad because like I think I was able to watch that online and there was some
maybe
there
Paul
was some
Simon
sweet
was a,
thing
maybe Paul Simon was going to go on a rant.
Yeah, oh, there was a sweet thing on the Good Nights. I watched the full Good Nights online, and they brought out a birthday cake for Paul Simon because it was his birthday.
Oh,
and he
I had no idea.
Yeah, and we got to see like them lighting the birthday cake. You know, like Davidson pulls out his lighter and he lights some of the birthday, and Paul Simon blows. It was very sweet, and I'm just like, oh, that's such a shame that
the people don't
want
to see that.
Yeah, but they were just short on time.
Let's cut straight to Soul Train or whatever it comes on after that.
Yeah, it was.
Not Soul Train.
Yeah, it was that for us. It's that New York show
First Look or whatever.
Yeah, First Look. That's it. That's it. And
I stay up very late.
Yeah. They have a cute blonde doing adventurous things.
Whoa, are you sure you're watching the right network? What? Are you sure about talking about NBC or?
Yeah, well, like usually the person on the First Look is cute blonde woman. It was a guy last night.
Oh,
So I guess they either alternate or maybe she's moved on to other
cute blonde girl things.
To other cute blonde girl things.
Gotcha.
Whatever they do, I don't know. They don't let me know. I ask them. I'm like, hey, what are you doing, cute blondes? And they're like, no, you don't need to know.
10 feet, remember? Yeah. 10, you have to stay away.
The settlement was very very clear.
The courts were very.
That's so that was the show.
Hey,
that
was, we did
that
it.
I thought it was an all right show. I enjoyed it.
I mean, out of the three new ones that came out, it's probably third, I'd say.
Oh yeah,
I would.
You didn't like it as much as the Awkwafina episode or the
Awkwafina was better. Adam Driver, huh? Maybe. Adam Driver and Awkwafina were about the same.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, this one I didn't like as much. Mm. But I don't know. It happens.
Yeah. I enjoyed this episode at the time. I think as we're going through it, I find more to dislike about it. But there were a couple things I really liked. I was pleasantly surprised by the Thirsty Cops sketch, and I thought the Bill Cosby prison sketch was pretty good because Because like they kept Bill Cosby in shadow
in the
version,
shadows,
that was like their surprise.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. It passed the time agreeably.
Saturday Night Live.
It passed the time agreeably.
All right, cool. So that's our show, and I guess they're not showing a new episode till November.
November 3rd, we're going to have host Jonah Hill and Maggie Rogers as the musical guest.
I know Jonah Hill. I'm not familiar with Maggie Rogers.
Me neither.
Well, let's
find
out.
So
we'll find out together.
We'll be covering that in November when that comes back. But we have a couple skip weeks.
Yeah.
In the meantime, and we talked about possibly doing a show. Or two for the skip weeks. And
yeah, we're thinking about maybe like our favorite cast members, our favorite cast, our favorite episodes.
Why Chevy Chase is an asshole.
We
talked about that as well.
Yeah, we talked about that.
So we're going to have two skip weeks. So
right.
We haven't discussed this. Are we
talking about it right now?
We could.
All right.
I should say, people who are listening to this, you should reach out to us on Twitter.
Yes.
And tell us what you would like us to cover for the skip weeks, because we're not sold on anything yet.
We're just flailing about here. So
and
give us direction.
And you can reach out to us. I'm Trumbull Comic at Trumbull Comic on Twitter.
I'm at Darren Credible on Twitter.
And if you just reach out to us and if you could use the hashtag SNL Nerds,
yes,
and tell us what you would like us to talk about the show, about the entire history of the show.
Help us help you. Do you want to hear us talk about a favorite musical guest, favorite commercial parody, favorite host.
Favorite host, favorite sketches, favorite cast members.
Yeah.
Things where the show went disastrously wrong. Last week we talked a little about Elvis Costello playing the song he wasn't supposed to on the show.
We could talk about times people dropped F-bombs. There's been the whole history of that, like Charles Rocket, Jenny Slate.
Yeah.
Others.
So let us know what you're most interested in hearing us talk about, and we will take that in, we will consider that, and we'll come up with a good topic for next week and the week after.
Oh, my God, it's going to be a doozy.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun, you guys.
Oofa.
But that is it for this week. We're gonna wrap it up, and we're going to get some sleep.
Oh, my
God. We're tired.
I'm about to pass out on
We're old. We're so very old.
So old.
We need a rest.
My bones are brittle.
But we will see you next week. SNL does not have a new episode, but we will.
Damn straight.
So we will see you very soon. Thank you, and good night.
Night, guys.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.